All right, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. It's December the 9th in the second week of Advent. And the most important event happening today is Preacher Basketball at 7 p.m. in Peterson Fieldhouse. Come early because the entire St. Louis metro area will be there. And in the meantime, we have Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. If you were with us last week, or if you listen online, or on the iTunes, whatever tunes it is, we got through this depressing list of vocab that we had to look up half of for the deeds of the flesh. But now, with a nice little deh, which, as you know, is pretty flexible, Paul turns the corner to contrast with the Spirit. And interestingly, the Spirit's singular fruit, it was deeds, but now it's fruit, singular. So we'll pick up then at Galatians 5, verse 22, where Paul writes, Ha de karpas tu pneumatas esten, and now comes the list, agape kara irene makrothymia krestates, agathosine pistis praeutes enkratea, kataton toiuton, Uk estendamas. So again, it's interesting. It may be significant that it's singular fruit. It's like one thing that manifests itself, perhaps in nine different ways or seven different ways. Excuse me. But the fruit of the Spirit.
No, you're right. Nine.
Is it nine? I knew it was seven or nine. The number of completeness plus two, or three times the Trinity, or who knows what these numbers mean. I'm very happy to point out that pneumatas has two accents. Notice that. Pneumatas here in Galatians 5:22, because estin is enclitic. Only the second singular of the present indicative of amea has its own accent. A has an accent, U-R. But because the acute is far enough away, you get two accents on pneumatas estin. Don Carson, by the way, at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, has written an entire little book on Greek accents. It's a very helpful book, and if you're having trouble sleeping at night, I highly recommend it. It'll put you right to sleep. So, the fruit of the Spirit is, and here's the list, love, joy, peace. King James used to render this long-suffering, which is literally makrothymia. And then krestates can be rendered different ways. I think a typical way is what? Gentleness, right? Not gentleness, but kindness, right? You just look it up in the dictionary. And these are all predicate nominatives, right, with the linking verb. And then we see our friend agathos in agathosine, so goodness. Pistis, in this context, is often rendered not faith, but faithfulness, right, which is one of its possible meanings in Greek. And then verse 23, praeutes, gentleness or lowliness, meekness, something like that. Here's another little accent trivia. If your eyeballs are really in good shape, you can see that over the upsilon, there's two dots that surround the accent. This is to... here comes the garbage trucks down below us here at Greek Club Tower at Concordia Seminary. Does anybody know the name of those two little dots? It's a diaresis. Yeah, Joe is going to get a really good vicarage because he knew that that piece of information. And it shows that it's not a diphthong. That's what it actually shows. So you actually pronounce it as two separate syllables. Praeutes. Gentleness, and then enkratia, self-control. Now, maybe a little apostolic irony here. He's been struggling with the law and the misuse of the law and so forth and so on. So literally, against things such as this, toi utos is an adjective that means of such a kind or like this. And so you've just got the article on the adjective. And kata plus the genitive can mean down, or it can also mean against. So, against things like this, there is not a law, or the law is not against things like this. So again, it may be a little bit of irony going on here, or maybe even sarcasm. Dr. Lessing actually knows quite a bit about that from the book of Jonah, right? Satire. So if you want to, if you're worried about keeping the law, try these things, right? And just a reminder too that the Spirit, you know, his fruit is most of these things are very active: love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, etc. So an easy enough sentence, a subject with a long predicate nominative followed by another short clause. Any questions? Any comments? Again, it's happy when Paul's Greek grammar is pretty easy. So, yeah, Joe.
What do you think that faithfulness would mean? Would it mean more like a horizontal relationship thing, or just?
Good. The question is would pistis here have more of a horizontal as opposed to a vertical dimension, right? Well, it could be. Maybe it would be both, in that faithfulness to whom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Presumably faithfulness to God entailed, but, you know, for Paul, that would often work its way out in the way we treat one another, right? So, but that's actually a good question. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe, given it's just an item in a list, we should interpret it sort of expansively and kind of take both dimensions there. Yeah, good question. By the way, enkrateia is a big, I think it's a big time Stoic virtue. Self-control. See, this the Greek man, at least in some of the philosophies, is this self-contained, he's sort of dispassionate, unaffected by things around him. That would clearly not be the way that St. Paul, you know, means it here, but rather, just kind of simply, maybe, in faithfulness to God, Joe, your comment, just sort of not running amok. Maybe you could even render it, this would be kind of a psychological rendering, willingness to defer gratification. Here we are in the Christmas season. I just thought I'd mention that, right? So, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better be a patriot and spend all your money till you die. Santa Claus is coming to town. Good. Other questions on 22 and 23? Okay, 24. Again, pretty easy syntax. Hoidea tu Christu Jesu, tain sarka estaurosan, sin tois pathemasen, kai tas epithymiais. And, Paul adds, the of Christ Jesus people, this would be probably a genitive of possession, those who belong to Christ, those of Christ Jesus. And now we get the verb from stauro, just an aorist indicative, crucified the flesh. Notice that it's an aorist indicative. It's not an imperative. He's not telling us to crucify the flesh, which he could easily have done. But he's actually sort of, if I can say it this way, baptismally declaring that it's happened, right? And so that's why there is, oddly enough, that's why Christians don't just give in to the flesh, but war, that's why the Spirit wars against. So oddly, it's an aorist indicative. It happened, even as Paul knows full well that the battle, you know, is constantly going on. So those of Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with, and then just two nouns, its passions and desires, or something like that. And you can supply autes, the passions and desires of it, that is, the flesh. So, thus far 24. Questions, comments, anything? Pretty easy. Okay, verse 25, and we'll maybe take 26 together with it, since they're both pretty short. Paul writes, "A zomen pneumate, pneumate kai stoikomen, me genomatha kenadoxoi, alelus pra kalumenoi, alelois thanuntes." So verse 25, we have zomen is from zao, it's an alpha contract verb, means to live. And the alpha contraction results in that omega with the circumflex. It's just a present indicative with A. So if we live in the Spirit, in connection with the Spirit, again, probably a reference to the Holy Spirit here, we have a little chiasm here, Paul repeating Spirit, in the Spirit also, stoikomen. This is from stoikeo. It means to conduct yourself or to behave or to line up. A stoikos is a row. I had to look that up. Like a row of bricks or a row of stones or something like that. And so to stoikeo is to walk in line, right? To you know, walk the straight course, if you will. So if we live in the Spirit, Paul says, which we do, in the Spirit also, and this verb is normally taken as a subjunctive, even though it could parse as a, well, let's see, could it parse as an indicative if it's stoikeo? No, if it's indicative, it would be stoikoumen, because the epsilon and the omicron would contract to e plus a is u. Right? So this is actually a subjunctive in form. And it would be hortatory subjunctive, or the so-called bunny subjunctive. Let us walk in line or conduct ourselves also in the Spirit. And now, verse 26, without any conjunction or anything, another very rapid hortatory subjunctive, ginomathos from ginomai. And this one is easier to parse because you can see the long connecting vowel in the omega there. The fact that you have the negative may also tells you that it's not an indicative. Because in Greek, by and large at least, if you're going to negate an indicative verb, you use ou, or a form of ou. In any other verb form, you use may. Okay, participle, subjunctive, imperative, infinitive, anything. So, ginomai means to be or become, as you know, and it takes a predicate nominative, which is why we have kenodoxoi there. Can anybody remember how the King James translates? They literally, kena doxoi. Anybody? Kenos means vain. And doxe is? So, vainglorious. Yeah, which means, have to look it up, conceited. Right? So, let us not be conceited. Right? And now we have two participles, which are in predicate position. The referent would be the unexpressed subject of genomatha. If you had the we there, it would be a masculine plural nominative we, if that makes sense. And so the two participles, pra kalumenoi and phnanuntes, have as their referent the unexpressed we of, or us in English, let us not be conceited. And, you know, you could translate these participles different ways. I wonder if they might express the manner that you show yourself to be conceited. That is, by. Now, so we'll just take them that way. Prokaleo means literally to call beforehand. And in the middle, it means to challenge in a negative sense. Okay, so pra kalumenoi is a present participle middle, masculine plural nominative, by challenging one another. And then thaneo, which is hard to say, means to, anybody? The noun thanos means, oh, I wish I knew what it meant. I'm envious of the people that know it. Oh, it means to envy. Very good. All right? So by challenging one another, by envying one another. Okay? Again, we're right smack in the middle of the kind of the exhortation section of Galatians. So picking up on 25 and 26 again, and then we can get the comments or any questions. If we live in the Spirit also let us walk. Let us not be conceited by challenging one another, by envying one another. And it's a good thing we don't have that problem here at Concordia Seminary. Right? So it's all good. We can just go on. Any questions? Comments? Again, nice short sentences. Joe?
Is the at being of 25 zomen, is that the same form as a subjunctive?
With the alpha contract, let's see. Yes, it would be the same form, right? What conditional particle would you have if it were a subjunctive, assuming the rules of grammar are being followed? It wouldn't be a, it would be aeon. It would actually be aeon, right? Now again, you know, as with all living languages, the grammar isn't always followed strictly, but the fact that you have a and the fact that it could be an indicative, you know, kind of leans in that direction, right? Good. Excellent. Okay, so no vainglory, and moving on into chapter 6, even more than no vainglory, but how about a little compassion, right, for one another. Chapter 6, verse 1. Adelphoi, eon kai pralemphe anthropos en tine paraptomate, humes hoi pneumatikoi, kat artizita ton toi utan en pneumata prautetas skapon seotan me kai su peras des. Now this looks a little bit more like a Pauline sentence, right? It's a little longer. Brothers, there is no separate nominative vocative plural form, and this looks like a nominative plural masculine, but it'll be vocative since the verb is second plural. So, brothers, you. Now we have an if clause. Now, interestingly, I checked this out. The ESV doesn't do anything with the chi. It just translates if someone is overtaken or something like that. But by aeon and chi together, does anybody remember what that will often mean and what it probably means here? Aeon, chi, together? It's concessive, even though, even if, okay? So even if something this bad happens, that's kind of the force of it. So even if an anthropos, a person, now prolemphe, does anybody have any idea what dictionary form that would be from? It's from prolambano. Bing, 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 bing. Morphology award. Yeah, and it means to take in advance or to receive in advance. And this is actually the aorist subjunctive passive of prolambano. And it means then, so if someone is taken in advance, and I wonder if the imagery is actually of being run down from behind. I've actually thought about this a little bit. Because you're trying to get away, but if that which is pursuing you catches you in advance before you get there, then you're overtaken. And that's the way it's normally translated. Even if a person is overtaken, there's the passive voice. Now, en tine paraptomate, in a certain trespass or transgression, or maybe even by a certain trespass. So that's the if clause, that's the concessive clause of the sentence. By the way, more accent drill, okay? What's funny about N? I mean, other than the fact that everything is funny. What looks funny about that little word N? Anything? Now, I really want to accent something about this word. What's funny about N? It has an accent. Normally, it's just the smooth breathing. Okay. Why does it have an accent? Because of tine that follows. You have two enclitics in a row, or two unaccented words in a row. And so when you do this, you read Dr. Carson's book late at night, it puts you to sleep, and then you remember in the morning that N has to have an accent because tine doesn't. So, does this excite you or what? I mean, this is the greatness of Greek club. Okay? Right. So, as far as it goes. Now we get to the then clause. Humes, you, plural, emphatic. you the spiritual people. By the way, this is a great example of how the adjective spiritual doesn't mean non-physical. Right? It means embodied with and directed by the pneuma, the spirit. Right? So, you who are spiritual, katartizata. This is another ambiguous form. It could be a present indicative, or it could be a present imperative. And that's the way it's always taken. Katartizo is what the fishermen are doing to their nets when Jesus calls them in Matthew, and I think also in Mark. They're preparing, or maybe better yet, restoring. Right? And that's the way it's normally translated here. You who are spiritual, restore. Or a present imperative, maybe go on restoring or especially restore or something like that. Restore ton toyuton. Now we have that, we had that adjective before up in verse 23, and it means of such a kind or such a one. And here it's just the direct object with the article of the verb katartizita. So you who are spiritual, you spiritual people, restore such a person. And how do you do it? In or with, by the way, notice "and" there doesn't have an accent, right? Because it's just followed by a word that has its own. With a spirit of gentleness. Notice the syllables delineated on praoutetos. Spirit of gentleness, probably just what? Gentle spirit, right? And now what's wrong with, grammatically, what's wrong with skapone? It's a participle. It's from skapeo, means to watch or look out for. And it's masculine singular nominative. Now what's wrong with that grammatically? Anybody got an idea? The referent, if you're looking for a referent. Say again, Chris? No, the referent... The only thing around is the you, which is plural. See? And this is a masculine singular nominative participle. So what Paul is probably actually doing is moving, in order to specify, from you who are spiritual to each one of you. So it's actually a grammatical mistake, if I can say it that way. But I think he's probably doing it on purpose. Watching... yourself, se'autan, the reflexive pronoun. Watching yourself, me kai su, note the singular again, peiros theis. In a sense, the rule is each person is tempted on his own, right? I mean, I'm responsible for my sin, you're responsible for your sin, right? This is a little elliptical. In Greek, you can just have the particle may and follow it with a subjunctive, and it's a negative purpose clause, and is normally translated lest. So, watching yourself, lest also you, singular, peirasteis is from peirazo. Again, it's an aorist subjunctive passive. See the theta 8 in it. Lest you also be tempted. Okay. And you know, you could kind of wax eloquent at this point, but it would probably be a gift of the Holy Ghost if every time I see someone else falling into the sin of anger or strife or jealousy or envy or whatever, if I say, "There but for the grace of God go I." Right? Almost without exception. Well, maybe without exception, right? And especially if, you know, I approach a brother and I say, "Hey, brother, I need to talk to you, and I, you know, can we work on what seems to be a problem?" You know, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. But every time, you know, I go knowing that I'm no different, I'm no better in myself, you know, that I'm subject to maybe not the identical temptation, but... you know, I've got my own temptations. And so it's really a remarkable verse. Luther waxed eloquent on this one. And it really really teaches a lot in the compass of just one verse. So let's back up and do the whole thing. Brothers, vocative. even if a person is overtaken in or by a certain transgression. You who are spiritual, restore such a person in a gentle spirit, maybe temporally, while you, singular, watch yourself, lest also you, singular, be tempted. Right? And then we've got one more minute, and so I think we should go ahead and get verse 2, which is another great, it's all inspired, but don't you think some verses are more inspired than others? Are we allowed to say that? If we're not, I take it back. Verse 22. Alelon tabare bastatate, kai hutos anapleirosita, ton naman tu Christu. Emphatic position. Of one another the burdens, you, plural, bear. Imperative. Very emphatic. Don't just bear your own burdens in this context, but bear the burdens of one another. Emphatic. And in this way, anapleirosita. Who can parse that form for me? It's from anapleirao. Anapleirosita. Morphology time. Anybody? What's the stem? Anapleiros? It is? I'm just thinking about the future now. Good. Future. Very good. And it's not, see, the trick of it is it could be, it's the same as the weak aorist would be anapleiros. But it's the connecting vowel, it's the epsilon that tells you that this is a future indicative active second plural. The variant reading, which you can glance down if you like, is actually anapleiros a-te with an alpha. Okay? And that would tell you that it was a weak aorist imperative active. If that were the reading, it would read, bear one another's burdens and thus command, fulfill Christ's law. But this is a future indicative. So bear one another's burdens and in this way you will fulfill, future indicative, the law of Christ. And of course the natural question, why would bearing one another's burdens fulfill the law of Christ? Anybody? Come on, you can do it. That's what he did. Exactly right. In other words, it's all about Jesus, right? So, okay. Stop here. Pick up next week. Thank you for Greek Club.